from the 5280 Mobile Studios. This is the Weekend Geek Update. Special report, Smurf here, along with my special guest, Stan Yen, who is basically a legend in my mind.
No, that shows you how small your mind is.
No, it's a big head. There's lots of space. Just nothing else in there. So, because Stan, to my mind, it's hard to do Vincent Price justice. And with your last comic, I have to applaud you, sir, because that was stupendous. I loved it.
Well, thank you. Even though it really didn't have anything to do with him,
it didn't. But just to put his, just to have the cojones to put him on the cover, I'm like, that's balls. I love that.
Well, it is a part of the Vincent Price imprint. So it's a one shot story, but it's the second time it's seen print, in a unique form. So Dan Crozier drew it the first time, and then this time around I felt like it needed to have more to do with Vincent Price. So when I ran the Kickstarter, a lot of my backing levels were to be drawn into the book, and any space that I could find that hadn't been purchased, I tried to sneak a drawing of Vincent Price in there, and in different ages too. So it's not all the the
same. Oh, so you got like Vincent at like different stages of his life.
Yes. So young Vincent, old Vincent,
That is awesome. Yeah.
So he's appears in the book about four or five different times.
So
it's like a Where's Waldo too. So if once you've read it and hopefully enjoyed the story, you can go back and see if you can find all the different places that I drew them in.
All right. And the full title of the comic, and is it still available? Or
yeah.
How would you get a hold of it?
You can go to my website at stanyan.me or find me at any convention that I'm going to be at. And if I end up drawing a zombie caricature of you, actually, even if you do it online, I'll send you a free signed copy of the book.
Wow. That's impressive.
So it comes with your
that.
Zombie caricature, yes.
See, I need a zombie character because I haven't had you do one of me yet.
Oh, yeah.
I need to do that. So that.
And you've read the story. So,
yes.
So you can see how, when someone gets zombified by me, it can be.
There's no going back.
It's like a meta type of thing going on.
It is a meta type of thing. It is on my bucket list. I won't lie. I need to have it done. Now, you did a Kickstarter for the Vincent Price book.
Yes, I did.
And it went very successfully. Now, you started another Kickstarter for a project that's coming up now.
Which also has to deal with my zombie character. So first of all, just for those of you that are uninitiated, haven't heard our previous interviews, the Vincent Price book is a story about me doing zombie characters of people at comic book convention. So that's why it's kind of meta.
And it's like the fine irony. It's like taking the con experience to like that next level.
Right. And so the next Kickstarter project, which, some people said I probably went back to the well too quickly. I ran the same year, was a Kickstarter for a children's picture book inspired by my son's fear of my zombie caricature artworks. It's called There's a Zombie in the Basement.
See, and I don't think that's going back to the well. When you look at, Walking Dead, which we'll get to in a minute.
Okay.
I mean, and, Z Nation and all of that, I think right now is, the perfect time. And you don't want to waste it. I mean, you want your kid's experience now while he's still, scared of it, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's been actually 2 years in the works, so from the time that he inspired it, because he wouldn't come down to my basement studio because he was afraid of all the artwork hanging up on my walls, to now he's actually drawing his own zombie comic books and things like that. We actually sold his first two books at the Denver Comic Con and Denver County Fair at my booth last
year. Oh, wow.
And so hopefully we can have another title of his this year.
So the artistic talent runs in the family then? He's following in Dad's footsteps?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think when he first started really drawing prolifically when he was about three, I could really see the talent. I mean, he was way ahead of anything that I was trying to do. He's using visual references, I kind of taught him, you know, okay, this is a fire truck, and it's made up of a rectangle and circles, and he started doing that. He'd, like, lay down this fire truck and then start drawing these things on his own without me prompting him. You
wow.
know? Now he's kind of going back to where I was as a five-year-old, which is where he is right now, where the more important thing was to tell the story. So he's drawing stick figures, and when he really puts his mind to it, you know, his art is phenomenal. He draws a really mean Millennium Falcon and AT-AT. I mean, better than I could probably do right now, because he remembers all the details. And if and he'll, like, you know, he'll bug me, can draw me this, draw me that, and then he'll tell me, you did it wrong, Dad.
Nothing quite like being critiqued by your son on the finer point of Star Wars. So I take it the movie was a hit with him then.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And what about you? I mean, past to present,
yeah,
good,
I
bad?
Mean, I, from an entertainment standpoint, I thought Episode 7 was excellent. For me, the casting of the new characters was great. The dialogue was hilarious. The plot, though, was
anemic.
Awful.
Anemic is all I
yes.
can say.
I mean, you know, talking about going back to the well.
That was New Hope, just rehashed, redone, just bumped up in a few select areas.
Yeah. I mean, granted, I don't think the casting for Kylo was great. I don't see any resemblance to Harrison Ford or Carrie
None
Fisher.
None whatsoever. I mean, and that mask is only long enough just to cover his chin. I mean, the face of Kylo Ren was just, I'm like, what the hell? You could have gotten someone a little bit closer to look like something. Come on.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I think that's actually why Leia and Han were no longer together, because he's actually illegitimate.
Leia got to take advantage of him in the slave costume one too many times.
Yeah. She went on the set of Harry Potter, and she and Snape kind of, you know.
Pound chicka wow wow.
Although I don't really know if heredity has anything to do with the hairstyle, so maybe, you know, that's
maybe,
a
I don't
bit
know.
Of a stretch.
He still kind of had the bouffant thing going on.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even think Harrison Ford was that Harry in Empire, but.
And I, you know, granted, you know, the good thing about my son getting so involved in Star Wars is that's actually what made me excited about Episode 7, because otherwise I'd been like, you know, I was kind of jaded by 1, 2, and 3 and just had so many complaints about it. But he got sucked in by the marketing big time. And a lot of it was because of actually the Lego aspects of Star Wars. You know,
that got me more than the action figure side.
And so it was kind of exciting for me to, like, kind of geek out with him on it. And I really have to kind of rein it in, because a lot of my criticisms about Star Wars really are things that he doesn't understand yet. So, like, one of the reasons that he insisted on seeing 1, 2, and 3, because I told him, you don't have to watch those
right
before we go see 7, but he had to at least see, you know, 4, 5, and 6.
Of course.
And so he went back and watched it, and so he was still a little puzzled by the whole Anakin turning to the dark side thing. And I'm like, well, what is the one thing that, you know, Anakin did that none of the other Jedis did?
Kill
that
babies.
Turned him to the dark side. I'm like, he fell in love. So I think I just ruined his whole, you know.
So the path to the dark side
is
through love.
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, basically, the clearest path to the dark side is to be castrated so that you become a eunuch. That's
true.
Theory.
So we can go the Mel Brooks route with, or no, Ice Pirates. Ice Pirates is even better, where they have making all the slaves eunuchs. That's right. The only thing that I was happy about with Star Wars, I can't say the only thing, but I really finally seen the Millennium Falcon just go into, like, full flight mode was awesome for
right,
me. That's
right.
And then I was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, well, and I think that, you know, just the timing of, I mean, they really wrote the movie to get the crowd to cheer.
Yes.
And it worked. It worked really well. And, you know, I'm not one of those people that goes to a movie to cheer, although I do miss, like, the whole aspect when I was growing up where no matter how bad the movie is, the audience would applaud at the end of the movie, you know?
Yeah.
And it was getting me to cheer as well. And I think a part of that is, like, seeing my son. So when the crowd would cheer, I'd look at him, and he would be cheering along with them. And that just... That really got me.
So that
me
makes
in
a little,
soft,
little
yes.
pride for Papa right there.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
nice. Yeah. That's great, though.
Yeah.
So, have you started watching Walking Dead yet? Are you still in
oh,
the bubble?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, no. I've been watching it since the very beginning.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually was... I never subscribed to a comic book series, had any comic book store put any serialized book in my... hold box. I didn't have a hold box because I hate serialized comics until The Walking Dead. And I've been following that since the very beginning. Now, I only pick it up when they have the trade paperbacks because I cannot deal with only 24 to 32 pages of a story. It's not enough to satisfy me.
It isn't. And it's hard to take. Because
yeah.
there's just so much going on, and then...
But I've noticed that Kirkman seems to write The Walking Dead for the trade paperback, because almost without fail, by the end of each trade paperback, he is kind of a, what the fuck, you know...
It is exactly
moment,
what it is.
Know?
You're like, holy, what the hell?
Yeah, just like the last episode of the TV series. Oh, my God.
The last episode, I was...
This is
dumbfounded
like,
by the end of it.
The most tense I've ever been watching any movie or TV show. My hands were clammy. I was nervous. I was distraught.
Yes.
That was
intense when they're sitting there and they're popping those guys while they're sleeping. I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm like waiting for one
yeah.
to like wake up
well,
just as he
for
sees
me, it was,
the knife. Like,
as with most of The Walking Dead, it's all about Glenn.
It is.
The token Asian guy, you know. So, hey, Rio.
Rio's walking by taking pictures.
And it was about his purity being taken.
Well, then that was the end of it. And then where he takes, what's his place's...
But the thing is,
to kill
that,
the other
that had
guy.
Less of an effect because by the end, they were both killing people through the door. So Heath is not pure by any stretch of the imagination. Just because he didn't see who he was killing.
But okay, but
see,
that's
people.
Like a blind justice type. That was like, you know, they're awake at least and coming after you and shooting through a door. Okay, I can kind of go with that one. But
to me, there's no difference.
Murder is murder.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is like the week before when Maggie is setting this up, you know, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is a good idea. And then you come to actually doing it, it was like totally different because it became so personal.
It did. And I mean, they basically became a bunch of mercenaries.
Yeah.
I mean, and that
in the worst way.
In the worst way.
Yeah.
And I don't know, because it follows the comic,
mm-hmm.
I mean, really closely. Especially when they go to Hilltop and the whole conversation
Although
and everything.
Although it didn't have that much of an effect on me when I read it in the comics.
See, neither did I. And I thought maybe that I missed something. Because
Although the
maybe...
next thing that happens did.
Yes. That totally. That was
and
bad.
I have a horrible, horrible feeling. Because it seems like Kirkman is taking back over the plot line.
Uh-huh.
It's getting a lot closer and bringing back things from the comic book And, you know, a lot of people that I've been, you know, chatting with online about what's going to happen in the TV series are saying, yeah, that's not going to happen. And I just don't see any way around it because I'm like, they've got two of, you know, they got Maggie, they got Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've got, but they've only got one of their guys. So what's going to happen? Carol's going to get traded for that guy. And then Glenn is going to give him up and trade himself
for Maggie. And we thought about that. But who knows? Because I don't think what happens to Glenn in the comic is going to happen to him in the show. My money says it's on Abraham. Abraham gets Glenn's fate.
Oh, yeah?
And
why do you think that?
Because of how the fans rioted
uh-huh.
with him, what they thought he got it under the dumpster at the beginning
right,
of the
right.
season. I just don't see them taking Glenn out that way. And they're already like...
No. I
they're
see.
Nancifying Abraham already. They're sending him down that Tyrese road where he's getting, you know, all euphoric and everything and detached. And
uh-huh.
I just... It would make sense for him to meet that end because now he's at peace. He's not fighting anymore. And that ends up his final his final.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good enough reason, because just reading through the comic book series, I've already figured out that Kirkman doesn't care about you getting attached to characters.
No, this is true. The only one he cares about is Rick, which is obvious.
Since there was that big sigh of relief, just like at the end of the horror movie before Jason comes back and says, he's still alive!
Yeah.
I think that's what's going to happen. So we've all taken that sigh of relief. Glenn is alive. And then they're going to whack him.
And they did still follow through with the horde coming through.
Right.
And, you know, the woman and her two kids getting munched.
Yeah.
Which was, I mean, right out of the comic.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, they have been following it so close. So I'm curious.
And we already know that, you know, they're setting up, you know, Negan is a bad guy. And you know, he's obviously, he's like the post-apocalyptic mafia boss, you know?
He is
but
brutal.
Because of what they just did here, they're almost making him into a... he might not be as bad as he is in the comic because he's just taking justice out on what, you know...
Retribution for what they did. And he definitely poked the bear.
Yeah.
And... They don't even know if they got him. And we know...
Well, we know that they didn't get him because the guy that they cast as Negan hasn't shown up.
Well, and I thought it was too easy because, okay, they go to this TV station, but in the comic, it's like a steel mill. I mean, you can't get to it. So I'm already thinking, okay, they're not going to twist it that much because I can't see him going in there causing a ruckus and Negan just getting out.
Right, right.
You know, and I was like, oh, this is not going to end well for them. So do you think the show is taking certain liberties that it shouldn't, though?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
In fact, I think the more they diverge from the comic, the more I like it because it doesn't feel like they're rehashing things that I've already read. But now that they're bringing back things from the comic, it almost kind of makes it a guessing game, and for me, it makes it more tense because I'm like, is this going to happen or is this not going to happen? And you can see it already. I mean, I'm talking about something that happened in the comic.
Yeah.
You know, I
and
feel
that's
like
a big thing. Issue 100 is huge for all the fans.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like the Red Wedding in Game of Thrones. I mean, it's one of the things, will they cross that line? Because it's still TV.
Yeah, I can't. You know, contribute to that because I am not watching Game of Thrones on purpose.
Right.
Because I know I'd love it. And as a freelance artist, I just don't need one more thing that I need to go back and watch for five seasons. The one show I did that with was Breaking Bad, and that's it. So,
are you watching Better Call Saul?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that
is. Oh, my God. That last episode was so good.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. The whole him, you know, talking about the, what was that, Boston cream pie. That was the best scene in the whole series. Oh, my God. Because the Better Call Saul has been so straight-laced compared to his character in Breaking Bad because he was the comic relief, you know, and his whole crew.
Well, and he was
and
so...
And I was so glad that they were doing the series because he was my favorite character.
He was. And he's so optimistic and for the greater good. And you can start to just see him slowly slide down. I mean, because, I mean, the shit that he's pulling, I'm just like, really? Seriously? And then he got the whole, you know, pie fucker scene going, and I'm just like, you gotta be kidding me. You faked evidence. What?
Yeah. Well, he hasn't faked it quite yet.
Not yet.
I mean, not officially, but if they make the video, then... And he may just do it just, you know, out of curiosity to see if he can talk to
just
this
to
guy.
Just to see if he
can
do it. I think he's absolutely right.
As the kind of man that he is, you know.
Just to see if he can get away with it. So, when does Zombies in My Basement come out? When is it available to order?
Well, you can order it now, actually.
Okay.
So if you are actually coming here to Starfest and Comic Fest, I'm giving people a set of six free artist signed artist sketch cards if you pre-order the book now. And you can do so on my website as well. You can pre-order the book. You can pre-order the T-shirts and the dolls. You can actually buy the T-shirts right here.
Sweet.
And I actually ordered, you know, men's, women's, youth,
look
and
toddler
sizes of the shirts because, you know, I'm writing a children's book. But the
I think the toddler size is perfect. That is brilliant.
So the printer actually told me they would ship the books to me on the 14th of this month, which means I should have it in time for AnomalyCon, which is my official soft release of the book.
Okay.
Although I'm probably going to do a hard release of the book towards the end of the year. And I actually ran into a lady that makes cakes that wants to make a zombie girl cake for my hard release party, which I plan on doing maybe sometime in September or so.
All right. That's a good call. I like that.
Yeah.
So what's on the horizon? I mean, what's the next big project?
So I've got the current project that you can find me working on my website is a graphic novel about my best friend's battle with cancer called Regret, A Cancer Survivor Story.
Right.
So I've been posting finished pages. It's been in the works since 2009, and I started drawing pages in 2004 before I had figured out how many pages the graphic novel is going to be. So I know now that the story pages are going to be 101 pages, so it's a long project.
Yeah, but a labor of love.
Yeah,
I mean, there's good mojo
and
behind
I'm
this.
I'm hoping to finish about 24 pages by September, have it in print by sometime in October, just so that people can see the start of the story and I can start selling the books at least the first couple of chapters at the at comic book conventions and such.
Rebecca's back here dancing with the banner.
Well, people are going to look at the sign more now.
Exactly. Like, hey, who's the hot chick holding the banner? That's
you need
Rebecca.
To like mount it on a foam core board so she can actually spin it.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I like that.
Or even mount it on a giant mallet.
No, her mallet's on the way.
Oh, okay.
Her team is bringing it to her right now.
All right.
As we speak.
But so that's in the works. And then I'm actually currently working on about 3 to 5 manuscript submissions of middle grade graphic novels, all kind of supernaturally based.
Okay.
So featuring a lot of the characters actually from my Zombie in the Basement book, but all grown up
okay.
The middle grade age level, you know. So I've got the conjoined twins as a character that I might develop into their own story.
You're going to be like American Horror Story, where you end up with, like, you know, the same characters to progressively
move
forward.
Depending on which ones I go with, they're going to be really loosely related. So, like, I've already made the obese centaur the principal of the school. And then, but he's also a musician as well at, that hijacks people's dreams
nice.
And charms them with music in their dreams and things like that.
That's
specifically
a nice
one
twist.
Person.
Oh, so he's got his target.
Yeah, so there's a mermaid that he fell in love with thousands of years ago that her soul continues on through other people's bodies, and so he will inhabit their dreams.
Oh, wow.
And inspire her to fall in love with him and... And so in the current incarnation of that character, she's a musician that just won a contest like American Idol or something like that.
Oh. Who says zombies can't love? I love that. That's perfect.
So, but the school that he's the head of is the Salem Charter Academy, which is a school that was founded eons ago by witches. But in the spirit of diversity, they've opened up their doors to other monsters as well. And so the school is being overrun by populations of zombie kids that are spreading like the zombie plague, of course.
Of course.
So my zombie girl is in there, and her brother, Peter Mortis, who is...
I guess that's better than Rigger.
is a kid that... got his hand sewed on the wrong arm, so he's really depressed right now.
Not when I'm drinking coffee. Knock it off. Wow. See, that's what I like. You're just...
Yeah. But he's made up of, like, a lot of different people's body parts. So, like, his rear end is from a were-wiener dog. So when the moon is full, he grows a tail.
What is with you and dogs?
I love dogs, and I love dog mentalities. So You know, for me, there's nothing funnier than just the way dogs think. And so the movie that's coming up, Pets.
Yeah.
Is like what I wanted to write, and then they came out with this, and I'm like, oh my god,
damn it!
Yeah,
it actually,
great.
It looks hilarious. It looks
great. The character design's great, and I just saw Zootopia as well. So there's a little like dog mentality with some.
How is Zootopia?
There.
I haven't seen it yet.
It is fantastic. Oh my god, they actually make a Breaking Bad reference in the movie. Believe it or not.
Shut up.
Yes. Yeah, so there's definitely things for the adults as well as the children, and it is so hilarious.
Well, I know that whole DMV scene with the sloths have got to be focused at parents.
And you know, that's a really great trailer for the show.
Yeah.
And that is like actually the least funny part of the movie.
Oh my god.
So if you think that's funny,
you're gonna love the rest of it.
The rest of it. Oh yeah. Yeah. And probably partially because they already gave away that scene.
But, right.
But then, you know, there's another thing that comes back later in the movie where they bring back the sloths that's just great. So,
all right. There
so,
you
so
have it.
So that scene needs to be in the movie. So it's
so
not
it's
just a throwaway.
A running joke trailer, later,
you know?
Yeah.
Because there are so many movies where they just, like, do it for the trailer and it has no other purpose and it's just, like, disappointing because of that, you know?
Yeah, I hate
and
that.
And it's not. It's not a throwaway scene.
Perfect.
So.
I love it. Well, Stan, I'll let you get out of here because I know you have a full table probably
yes,
waiting for
probably.
You. Cause,
I hope so.
Yeah.
If Stacy's doing her job.
Well, we love Stacy. So if people wanted to follow you on, have you got a Twitter account yet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I had a Twitter for a while. I don't really probably properly use it the way it should be.
I never use Twitter properly.
At Stan_Yan, all lowercase. You can also find me on Instagram, which I use a little bit more regularly. Which is at Zombicatures. And then, of course, my Facebook page, which is Stan Yan Artist.
Perfect. Stan, I look forward to seeing you again. It's Anomaly Con. You're doing Dink, aren't you? You
got, no, because you got it's like the same weekend. So unless I do some after-hours event that is unofficially with Dink, I won't be at Dink. Although the printing company that has been printing my books and, here locally
mm-hmm.
and printing my prints and some of my postcards, Avanti Printing, Bob Conway, who works there, will be there with the I don't know if they're actually calling their table Acme Comics or not, but that's
I don't
a
know
group
if they
that
I don't know if they could do that.
But Dennis Pimple and Bob Conway are sharing a table at Dink.
Okay. Walker Stalker?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Yes. I was going to say, because that's
like... That is our, big con. I mean, our best convention on a per-day basis was Walker Stalker in Chicago. So by virtue of the fact that they're coming to Denver, hopefully some of the celebs that are backing out aren't going to affect...
Well, I know because
like
Stan already backed out. So and you know what happens because if you die and it's the last show for the season, you're on Talking Dead, and now Stan suddenly has a conflict in scheduling.
Me? Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yep.
All right, sir. Thank you so much.
Oh,
we will
you.
See you around.
All right. Thank you so much.